Tistriya Praja
Devahuti Tistriya Praja
Sarvastas Charu Sarvangyo
Sarvastas Charu Sarvangyo
Lohitot Palagandaya
Lohitot Palagandaya
Ataksa Susuve Sadyo
Ataksa Susuve Sadyo
Devahuti Tistriya Praja
Devahuti Tistriya Praja
Sarvastas Charu Sarvangyo
Sarvastas Charu Sarvangyo
Lohitot Palagandaya
Lohitot
Palagandaya
Sa
Susuve
Susuve
Sadhya
Sadhya
Devahuti
Devahuti
Striya
Striya
Девочки Девахути
Praja,
Praja,
дети,
Sarva,
Sarva,
Ta,
Ta,
Charu Sarva
Angya, Charu Sarva
Angya, наделенный редкой красотой,
наделенный редкой красотой,
Лохита,
Лохита,
Красный,
Утпала,
Утпала,
Водос,
Водос,
Гандая,
Гандая,
Аромат.
Immediately afterward, on the same day, Devahuti gave birth to 9 female children, all charming in every limb and fragrant with the scent of the red lotus flower.
Тот же день Девахути родила 9 дочерей, которые были наделены редкой красотой и источали аромат красного лотоса.
Devahuti was too sexually excited, and therefore she discharged more ova, and 9 daughters were born.
Сексуальное желание для Девахути было так сильно, что несло мировое сбочи яйцеклеток, и она родила 9 дочерей.
It is said in the Smriti Shastra, as well as in the Ayurveda, that when the discharge of the male is greater, male children are begotten. But when the discharge of the female is greater, female children are begotten.
В Смрити Шастре, а также в Аюрведе сказано, что когда мужской секрет по количеству превосходит женский, у супругов рождается мальчик, в противном случае на свет появляется девочка.
It appears from the circumstances that Devahuti was more sexually excited, and therefore she had 9 daughters at once.
Очевидно, что в данном случае желание Девахути было сильнее желания ее мужа, поэтому она родила сразу 9 дочерей.
All the daughters, however, were very beautiful, and their bodies were very nicely formed. Each resembled a lotus flower and was fragrant like a lotus.
Однако все ее дочери были необыкновенно красивы и хорошо сложены. Каждая из них была подобна цветку лотоса и источала такой же чудесный аромат.
So we didn't read a few verses, we'll read those verses.
Мы не читали другую серию несколько читов, но через стихов мы прочитаем.
And then we're going to read a few more verses.
А затем прочитаем еще несколько стихов.
The last verse we read was text number 45.
Последний стих, который мы прочитали, это был 45 стих.
So in text number 46 it says, while the couple who eagerly long for sexual pleasure were thus enjoying themselves by virtue of mystic powers, 100 autumns passed like a brief span of time.
В 46 стихе говорится, пока охваченные желания супруги наслаждались с помощью своих мистических сил, минуло 100 осени, которые пролетели для них как одно мгновение.
Then in text number 47 it says, the powerful Kardama Muni was the knower of everyone's heart, and he could grant whatever one desired.
В 47 стихе говорится, могущественный Кардама Муни, Бог поднящий творит в сердце любого живого существа, исполнит все его желания.
Knowing the spiritual soul, he regarded her as half of his body.
Познав природу души, он считал жену половиной своего тела.
Dividing himself into 9 forms, he impregnated Devahuti with 9 discharges of semen.
Распространив себя в 9 форм, мудрец 9 раз поместил свое семя в голову Девахути.
Purport. Since Kardama Muni could understand that Devahuti wanted many children, at the first chance he begot 9 children at one time.
Комментарий. Зная желание Девахути иметь много детей, Кардама Муни зачал себе сразу 9 дочерей.
He is described here as Bibhu, the most powerful master.
В этом стихе его называют Вибу, что означает наделенный необычайным могуществом.
By his yogic power, he could at once produce 9 daughters in the womb of Devahuti.
С помощью своих мистических сил он смог зачать в лоне Девахути сразу 9 дочерей.
So, just a couple observations. One observation is that people in this world are so fond of sexual pleasure.
Одно из них состоит в том, что люди в этом мире очень привязаны к сексуальному наслаждению.
But to enjoy just a drop of flickering pleasure of sex life, there has to be so much toil and trouble which is undergone.
Для того, чтобы наслаждаться каплей этого мерцающего счастья, которое приносит секс, приходится претерпевать столько много неприятностей.
Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the attractive feature of this world is sex. And it explains that this sex ties up the heart of the living entity. So especially when man and woman come together and they enjoy that pleasure, then their hearts get tied up in such a tightly bound knot.
В особенности, когда мужчины с женщиной сходятся вместе, они наслаждаются этим удовольствием, то в их сердце завязывается очень тугой узел.
And then all of the problems of material life expand.
И все проблемы материальной жизни начинают увеличиваться.
One has to work so hard to maintain the family.
Необходимо много работать для того, чтобы содержать семью.
The wife has to raise the children.
Жена должна воспитывать детей.
So many problems are there along the way.
Возникает множество проблем.
All for a little bit of flickering pleasure.
И все это ради крохотного мерцающего наслаждения.
A person will be willing to undergo so much difficulty and so much hardship.
Ради этого человек будет готов пойти на огромные трудности и огромные сложности.
So we can see that as living beings in this world, our standard of pleasure is so low.
Мы видим, что у живых существ в этом мире стандарт наслаждения очень низок.
But you look at the standard of pleasure that was experienced by Kardava Muni and Devahuti.
Но посмотрите на уровень наслаждения, который испытывают Кардава Муни и Девахути.
They were both actually very advanced mystics.
Они на самом деле оба были очень продвинутыми мистиками.
At least Kardava Muni, he was a highly advanced mystic, and his wife was the daughter of the Emperor of the Universe.
По крайней мере, Кардава Муни был возвышенным мистиком, а его дочь была дочерью императора всей Вселенной.
So she undoubtedly was most highly qualified person as well. First, Kardava Muni, he creates an airplane. They fly through heaven. While riding on the airplane, they start to enjoy sexual pleasures. It says here that while they were enjoying sexual pleasure, 100 autumns passed and they didn't even notice it.
Здесь говорится, что они предавались сексуальным удовольствиям. Прошло 100 лет, и они не заметили.
The poor people of this world, they hanker so much for that pleasure.
Несчастные люди этого мира, они так стремятся к этому наслаждению.
And then finally, when it comes in their hands, and they're able to engage in that activity, the only thing they can think of is the next time that they'll engage in that activity.
Когда оно попадает им в руки, они могут заняться этой деятельностью. Единственное, о чем они могут думать, о, когда же я смогу еще раз этим заняться.
But for Devahuti and Kardava Muni, 100 autumns passed, and they were completely absorbed in their activity.
Для Кардава Муни и Девахути прошло 100 лет, и они были полностью поглощены этой деятельностью.
So for that reason, we can understand that they were uncommon personalities.
По этой причине можем понять, что они были необыкновенные личности.
They were highly evolved, highly advanced personalities.
Они были очень развитые, очень продвинутые личности.
And then Kardava Muni, he was a great saint.
Kardava Muni, кроме этого, был великим святым.
It says in this verse that we just read that he was such a saint that he could understand the soul of his wife.
Здесь говорится, что он был такой святой, что он мог понять душу своей жены.
And therefore he considered his wife to be half of his body.
И поэтому считал жену половиной своего тела.
So that's a Vedic concept.
Такая ведическая концепция.
That the wife is half of the body of the man. Srila Prabhupada, he often said that the wife was the better half of the man. So Kardava, he could understand his wife's soul, and he could understand that actually she desired to have many children as soon as possible.
Когда он понял желание своей жены, он понял, что она хотела иметь как можно быстрее, как можно больше детей.
So being a master mystic, he expanded his body in 9 forms. And he discharged semen 9 times. And he impregnated Devahuti. But then, the verse that we read, today's verse, it explained that immediately after he did that, on the very same day, Devahuti gave birth to 9 daughters.
На стихе, который мы только что прочитали, говорится, что в тот же самый день немедленно Девахути родила 9 дочерей.
Now this is another amazing thing, which should help us to understand that these are not common people engaging in common activities.
Которая должна помочь нам понять, что это необыкновенные люди, которые занимаются обыкновенной деятельностью.
She was impregnated, and then same day, 9 girls. She gave birth to 9 girls.
То есть она зачала детей, то есть были зачаты дети, и в тот же самый день 9 дочерей.
And all of those girls, it's described they were as beautiful as red lotus flowers.
Описывается, что эти девочки, они были прекрасные, как цветы лотоса.
And they had the beautiful aroma of red lotus flowers.
Источали прекрасный аромат, то есть красного цвета лотоса.
So we'll read text 49 also.
Мы прочитаем также 49 стих.
So This is another interesting thing. She gives birth to 9 children, and then what does her husband do?
Это еще одна интересная вещь. Она рождает 9 дочерей, 9 детей, и что собирается сделать ее муж?
You know, most people, if you know, when the children are born, they want to take the child. Ooh, ga 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 ga. Oh, he looks like me.
Большинство людей, когда рождаются дети, они так сечут какую-то семью. О, какой.
He's so beautiful. He looks just like me. And the wife goes, no, no, he looks like me. He has your father's eyes. He has your father's mustache. It goes on like that, right? Yeah. People immediately they become attached. You know, and they have such a plan for that child. You know, in material existence, Prabhupada says that there's 2 basic psychologic phenomena. The first phenomena is I am this body. And second phenomena is everything I see is mine to enjoy. So a new child comes into the world. And you know, the mother and the father look at the child and they say, I love you. You're mine. I love you. You belong to me. I will try to control your life in every way possible. I'll make you go to school even though you hate it. I'll feed you every type of abominable food. Even though you don't want to, I'm going to make you go to the institute for 10 years so that you can become a doctor. Because you're mine. You belong to me. And I love you so much that I'm going to control your life. And I'm going to make you absolutely miserable. It's like that, isn't it? It's not selfless. It's not really selfless love. But it's love with so much attachment. And the basis of it is you belong to me and I'm going to control you. And if you step out of line, just like my mother, she used to want to control me so much. It was horrible. I can remember the fighting started when I was about 5 years old. The fighting started when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And it never stopped. I mean, now it's stopped, but until I became a devotee, it was like a constant war going on. I can remember one year at Christmas time. Christmas in America is really a big holiday. And my mother was telling me, I was about 5 years old. And she was telling me, it's 7:30 in the evening, you have to go take rest. And I very clearly remember looking at my mother and telling her, why do you think that you can control me?
Я очень четко помню, как я взглянул на свою маму и сказал, почему ты думаешь, что ты можешь меня контролировать?
And then I said, and I can remember this, I said something very amazing to her.
Я помню, я ей сказал вещь, которая просто поразила.
I said, just because you happen to be my mother, do you think that there's like any substance in the relationship?
Я говорю, неужели думаешь, что потому что ты случайно стала моей мамой, в наших взаимоотношениях есть что-то существенное?
No, I don't know where those words came from.
Я не знаю, откуда пришли эти слова.
It must have been something left over from the last life.
Может быть, что-нибудь из прошлой жизни осталось.
That was like the declaration of war for 20 years.
Это было практически объявление войны на 20 лет.
And then when I was a teenager in America, it was like a very revolutionary period in America. There's actually a youth revolution, or an alternative culture revolution going that went on in America in the
1960s.
The youth were rebelling against society. So I was part of the revolution also. And I had a big long beard. As soon as the hair started to come on my face, I just let it grow. And I kept long hair. And my mother was constantly fighting with me. She said, I love you. But you've got to cut your hair.
Нет.
And so then I graduated from high school. And then I went to the university. And I was in the university for 1 year. And when I came home from the university, I mean, it's sort of like in the university atmosphere, everything went wild. So I came home and my mother saw me with this beard and hair and the clothes I was wearing.
And
she said, cut that hair. She said, you look like a communist with that long hair. Because in America, anything that was bad had to be a communist. She said, you've got that long beard, you must be a communist. Are you a communist? Cut that beard off.
Ты коммунист, ну подстригись, сбрей бороду.
Нет.
So then she thought that she had something she could hold on my head.
И она захотела подумать, что она сможет все-таки повлиять на меня.
She said, if you don't cut that hair, and if you don't cut that beard, I'm not going to pay for your university education.
Она сказала, если ты не подстрижешь и не сбреешь бороду, то я не буду платить за твой университет.
I went, хорошо! So that was the end of my university education.
И, то есть, таким образом, моей университетской карьере наступил конец.
So then I just wandered around the United States for a year or so.
Затем где-то год-другой просто слонялся по США.
And then I went to a place called Buffalo, New York, and I joined the Hare Krishna movement.
И затем я забрел в место, которое называется Buffalo, New York, и присоединился к движению Hare Krishna.
So then I was in the Hare Krishna temple for about four days.
Я жил, наверное, в храме Hare Krishna дня четыре.
And then I told the temple president, I said, said, have you guys got a telephone down here? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I want to phone my mother and tell her that I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So the temple president and I went to the office. And I rang up my mother because where my parents lived was about 1,000 kilometers away. And I said, hello, mom. She said, where are you? I said, I'm in Buffalo, New York. She said, Buffalo, New York, way up there. What in the world are you doing up there? And I said, I joined the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. She said, what's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Because no one knew what the Hare Krishna movement was. Especially, I'm from the southern part of the United States. Down there, no one knew what the Hare Krishna movement was. And I said, oh, it's a spiritual movement. And she said, well, what are you doing there? What am I doing? So I turned to the temple president.
She asked me, what am I doing? What am I doing here?
He said, tell her that you're getting trained up. Mom, I'm getting trained up.
Mama, я учусь.
She said, oh, how to show. She said, what are you getting trained up to be?
А кем ты, а на кого ты учишься?
I turned to the temple president. I said, what am I getting trained up to be? He said, you're getting trained up to become a Brahmin. So, mom, I'm getting trained up to become a Brahmin.
Mama, я учусь на Брахмана.
Oh, how to show. She said, anyhow, phone me back in 2 weeks. So then, after 2 weeks, I phoned my mother again. And she answered the phone. And she said, hello, darling. She said, you know, I spoke to some of your father's business associates in New York City. And I asked them, what is the Hare Krishna movement? So they told me it was like a group of people and they wear the sheets from the bed.
Они мне сказали, что это какая-то группа, кучка людей, которые носят, которые ходят то есть одетые в простыни.
And they cut off all their hair except the little thing on the back. And they put some paint on their forehead. And they go out on the street with drums and they go boom, 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 boom. And they jump up and down. And they sing some song. She said, is that the movement you joined? Then my mother said, so you mean that you finally shaved off your hair? I said, yes, I did. So I was expecting my mother to be very happy. But then I didn't hear anything on the other end of the phone. And I was thinking, are you still there? And all I could hear was,
your hair. Your beautiful hair, you cut it off.
I said, you nonsense, you fought me about my hair for 5 or 6 years.
Послушай, мы с тобой воевали из моих волос 5 лет целых.
You see, so it's like, it's not really love, it's just the desire to control. And some of our parents, they want to control us right up to the end of our lives. You know, I met one man in New York City. And we were doing Harinam on the street in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
На Пятой Авеню мы проводили Харинаму в Нью-Йорке.
Fifth Avenue is the biggest street in the world.
И Пятая Авеню это самая огромная, самая крупная улица в мире.
So we had a big Harinam party.
Там была огромная группа Харинам.
We had like a changing bodies diorama.
У нас была это собой диорама, где смена тел.
Giving out prasadam.
Раздавали прасадам.
And this one man, he must have been about at that time, he must have been about 45 years old.
Этот человек ему было лет 45, наверное, в то время.
He was dressed like a millionaire. I mean, you just look at him and you knew that, like, just his jacket must have cost
$400-$500.
You know, like fancy shoes. You know, and like here on his shirt there were like diamonds.
И здесь вместо запонок были бриллиантовые запонки.
And he was just standing and he was watching the kirtan.
Он стоял и смотрел на киртан.
So I walked up to him and I said, "Do you like it?"
Я подошел к нему и спросил, "Вам нравится?"
And he went, "I love it."
Я просто обожаю.
He said, "I love it."
Я просто влюблен в это.
He said, "You don't know how much I love chanting Hare Krishna."
Вы просто не можете представить, насколько я обожаю повторять песни Хари Кришна.
He said, 15-16 years ago, he said, I went to a program and I saw Swami Prabhupada. And when I saw him, it changed my life. And he said, and I started chanting Hare Krishna. He said, but my parents are so rich and they're so influential and they're so powerful. They're controlling me so much. I could never even come to the Hare Krishna temple.
Они настолько меня контролируют, что я никогда не мог прийти в храм Hare Krishna.
He said, but every day I chant Hare Krishna in my home.
Но каждый день я дома повторяю Hare Krishna.
He said, and I'm married now.
Сейчас я женился.
He said, and I have a little baby daughter.
У меня маленькая дочка дома.
And he says, and you know what I do?
Вы знаете, что я делаю?
He says, every night I put my baby daughter to rest.
Каждую ночь я укладываю свою дочку спать.
And I tell my wife to go out of the room. I want to sing to my daughter before I put her to rest.
Я говорю своей жене, чтобы она вышла, потому что я хочу спеть ей колыбельную.
And he said, and I hold her and I go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, but he is so controlled by his parents, he couldn't even become a devotee.
Но его настолько контролировали родители, что не смог стать преданным.
See, so that's the way it is in the material world.
Вот так все происходит в материальном мире.
And we're engaged in activities that simply bind us to this world.
Мы занимаемся деятельностью, которая просто привязывает нас к этому миру.
So many tasks we undergo trying to please our family and our society, but we simply become bound up by the results of those activities.
Мы совершенно столько дел, чтобы доставить удовольствие нашему обществу, нашей семье, но нас просто связывают эти семейные узы.
But now we're going to read what Kardama Muni did.
Но сейчас мы прочитаем, что сделал Кардама Муни.
Here his beautiful, beautiful wife, Princess Devahuti, she gives birth to 9 daughters.
Вот царевна Девахути.
And what does he do? He says, I fulfilled my responsibility. Now it's time for me to take sannyas. And he was just fixing to walk out and leave the ashram. When she saw her husband about to leave home, she smiled externally, but at heart she was agitated and distressed.
Когда Девахути увидела, что ее муж собирается уходить из дома, она улыбнулась, но сердце у нее стало тяжело и тревожно.
Now this is a sign that actually she had great affection for Kardama Muni.
Это признак того, что она на самом деле очень любила Кардама Муни.
You know, what would happen today if some man were going to walk out of the house?
Что бы сегодня произошло, если бы мужчина, ну, кто-то покинул бы дом?
You know, maybe the wife would pick up something to throw at him.
You rascal! хотели.
But here it describes that, that Devahuti, she just had 9 daughters. She sees her husband's going to go. And so she doesn't disturb her husband, she smiles.
Здесь мы видим, что Девахути, она только что родила 9 дочерей. Она видит, что ее муж покидает дом. И она, но она не хочет его беспокоить, она просто улыбается.
So we can actually see that in the relationships between the husband and wife, there's some real culture there.
Мы видим, что в взаимоотношениях между мужем и женой есть настоящая культура здесь.
It's a very high culture should actually be there.
На самом деле должна быть очень высокая культура.
The purport. Kardama Muni finished his household affairs quickly by his mystic power. The building of the castle in the air, traveling all over the universe with his wife and the company of beautiful girls, and begetting of children were finished, and now, according to his promise to leave home, for his real concern of spiritual realization after impregnating his wife, he was about to go away.
Он создал воздушный замок, облетел на нем с женой и юными красавицами всю вселенную, произвел на свет потомство. Теперь же, в соответствии с данным некогда обещанием, он собирался уйти из дома, чтобы достичь полной цели своей жизни, духовного самосознания.
Seeing her husband was about to leave, Devahuti was very disturbed. But to satisfy her husband, she was smiling.
Увидев, что муж собирается уходить, Девахути не на шутку встревожилась, но не желая огорчать мужа, продолжала улыбаться.
So this is a real selfless type of affection.
Это на самом деле очень бескорыстная нежность.
You know, and this is extraordinary situation.
Это конечно экстраординарная ситуация.
But we have to understand that all of us, we have to develop selfless affection for Krishna.
Мы должны понять, что все мы должны развить бескорыстную и непривязанность, любовь к Кришне.
Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the discussion of the demon Vritasura, Shukdev Goswami, he describes different types of affection. And he explains that one is higher than the other. Because ultimately we have to develop the highest variety of affection for the Lord. Affection in Sanskrit is called priti. And it's such a big subject that Jiva Goswami has even entitled one of his sandarbhas the Priti Sandarbha. And that deals with the selfless affection of the residents of the spiritual world with Krishna. But in that discussion of Vritasura, these are the 3 different types of affection. Now just try to understand this, because it's interesting that Shukdev Goswami could come out with something like this. He says that the first type of affection is the affection that a baby bird feels for his mother. Now, we should analyze what that affection is. Now, imagine you were a little baby bird sitting inside your nest. And naturally, you would be feeling some affection for your mama. Why is that? Because you know that the mommy bird, she's out flying and she's catching many bugs. And what she's going to do is she's going to chew them up real nicely in her mouth. Then she's going to fly back to the nest. And you're going to go like this. And she's going to stick her beak inside of your mouth. And she's going to spit that chewed up bug inside of your mouth. And then you won't be hungry anymore. So that's why the baby bird feels affection for the mommy bird. And then there's another aspect of affection also. Is that baby bird knows that when mommy bird is flying around, then no big crow is going to fly down to the nest and eat me up.
No big
No big crow.
Знаешь, что когда мама, то есть летает и охотится за, за букашками, то никакая большая ворона не прилетит и не сожрет меня.
So is the baby bird actually affectionate to mommy bird, or is the baby bird affectionate to the facilities that the mommy bird gives?
Что же любит маленький птичек? Любит ли он маму или же любит то, что дает ему мама?
The baby bird is affectionate to the facilities that the mother gives.
Птичек любит то, что дает ему мама.
You see, but still there's some affection, but it's materialistic.
Все равно какая-то любовь есть, но она материалистичная.
So then, Shukadeva Goswami gives another example.
Затем Шукадева Госвами приводит другой пример.
He says this next type of affection is a little higher.
Говорит, другой вид любви немного повыше.
And that's the example of the baby cow and the mother cow.
Это пример теленка и коровы.
Have any of you been here on a farm in the morning when they milk the cows and they allow the baby cows to come in and drink?
Кто-нибудь видел, как на ферме утром доят коров и затем пускают телят в произошедшие пить молоко?
When you see the way the baby cows are jumping so much, and the mother is licking the baby cow so affectionately. So, what is it that the baby cow is really attracted to? That milk coming from the mother's milk bag. So it's not that he really is loving the mother, but also loving a facility.
Он любит не то, чтобы свою маму, он любит то, что она дает.
But Shukadeva Goswami says that this is higher than the little baby bird.
Но Шукадева Госвами говорит, что это выше, чем любовь птичка.
Why is that?
Почему?
Because the milk is coming directly from the mother herself.
Потому что молоко, оно, то есть идет непосредственно от самой матери.
Whereas the mother bird was feeding a bug that was something external.
В то время как мама птичка накормила его букашками, которые являются сейчас внешним объектом.
So he says it's a higher type of affection.
Поэтому это более высокий уровень любви.
But then, how does he describe the highest type of affection?
Но как он описывает самый высший уровень любви?
He says that when is the highest type of affection is the affection that the wife, a young wife, will feel for her husband.
Он говорит, что высший вид нежности любви это
Husband will go away for some time to do his work. But when he returns, then the wife, she prepares so many nice dishes of prasad. And cleans the house very perfectly. And has flower garland. And everything is just arranged perfectly for the pleasure of the husband. So he says this selfless type of affection is the highest type of affection. So here we can see Devahuti, even though her husband was going to leave, she's still smiling so that he won't become disturbed. Even though she was distressed in her heart. So we should think about these things. Actually, our objective is to develop an attitude of selflessness towards Krishna. Now we can say Krishna is a real high thing. And we can't really understand how to be selfless in relationship to Krishna. So we should practice being selfless in relationship to the spiritual master. That means that every action that we do in our life should be for the satisfaction of the spiritual master. And then you might say, but the spiritual master, he never comes down here, so we don't really know how to satisfy him. So then, make all of your activities for the satisfaction of the Vaishnavas. Practice serving the devotees selflessly. Do everything for the pleasure of the devotees. We should serve for the pleasure of the devotees. We should speak for the pleasure of the devotees. You know, sometimes the devotee may come back from Sankirtan. And he may have had a very difficult day on Sankirtan. And he may take some prasadam and not clean up his place because his mind is disturbed. Then you go,
hey, you nonsense, get over here and clean things up.
You know, agitate him a little bit more. No, don't do like that. Do some Vaishnava seva. You know, clean up for one of your god brothers or god sisters. Give them some kind words. Give some encouragement. Even sometimes if you have to go out of your way, what you're going to do to give some service, you should do that, and then that will help us to develop the attitude of selfless service.
Даже если вам от того это очень трудно, то есть себя преодолеть, чтобы сделать ему, совершить ему служение, вы должны стараться это делать, потому что это позволит нам развить бескорыстное настроение.
Just remember, this process that we're doing is called sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti means training.
Просто запомните, что процесс, которым мы занимаемся, называется sadhana bhakti, что означает обучение.
And we're training to become absolutely selfless.
Мы учимся быть абсолютно бескорыстным.
So the more that we try to do these things for the pleasure of the selfless service, the pleasure of the Vaishnavas and for the spiritual master and Krishna, then the more we'll actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Now, Srila Prabhupada in the Shastra, they always speak of three different types of devotees. They speak of the exalted Uttama Adhikari. You understand what is Uttama Adhikari? Uttama Adhikari means he has perfect understanding of the Shastra. It means he sees Krishna everywhere. He sees everyone as being a greater devotee than he is. Such exalted, topmost exalted position of Vaishnava. Then there's the Madhyamadhikari. Madhyamadhikari, he has unbreakable faith, but he doesn't have complete knowledge of Shastra. And he's not like the Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as being a devotee. But the Madhyamadhikari, he discriminates. He sees the Lord, sees the devotee, sees the innocent people in society. And then he sees the people who are actually envious and averse to the Lord. And he avoids those people. You see, so this position of Madhyamadhikari is a very big position. And generally a preacher is a Madhyamadhikari. Now if we actually can advance to the position of Madhyamadhikari, that's a position that we can never fall down from. But then you have the third class devotee. And he's known as the Kanishta Adhikari. And Kanishta means without Nishta. Now this word Nishta has different meanings. Sometimes Nishta means position. Sometimes Nishta means faith. So a Kanishta Adhikari means that he doesn't have faith, he doesn't have very firm faith in Krishna or devotional service. So it's like the lowest standard of devotee. And Srila Prabhupada has often said that the Kanishta Adhikaris are known as Bhakta Praya. Which means that they're imitation devotees. They're not actually pure devotees, they're imitation devotees. And he says the reason is that the third class devotees generally are interested only in themselves. They're interested in their own advancement. They're interested if they're going to get prasad. They're interested if they're going to have a place to sleep at night. Whereas the Madhyama Adhikari and the Uttama Adhikari, they don't care about these things. Because they're selfless. So we should, many times we read in Srila Prabhupada's books and we discuss amongst ourselves about these three categories of devotees. And we should understand that the Kanishtha Adhikari is a person who's really pretty much self-interested. So we should try to advance beyond the position of Kanishtha Adhikari. We should learn the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We should learn about the holy name. That's called Nam Tattva. We should learn Bhagavat Tattva, meaning that we should understand all about Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, who does Krishna say that he is? He says, I'm the source of everything. I'm the source of the demigods. I'm the source of Brahman. Everything in existence, it comes from me. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is pretty bold. But Krishna is telling us who he is. So we should understand Nam Tattva and Bhagavat Tattva. We should understand the truth about the living entity. We should understand who we are. We should understand how we're caught up in this material nature. That we're under the influence of passion and lust. We should understand fully three modes of material nature. We should understand spiritual nature. Time and karma. Now, if we'll understand these things and we'll render service, then we will go beyond the position of Kanishtha Adhikari. But if we just take it real easy and we don't concern ourselves about advancing, then we can remain in the Kanishtha position. And from the Kanishtha position, one can again fall down into the material world. So for that reason, it's each and every one of our responsibilities to make advancement in devotional service. And as we've said before, don't wait for the temple president to do it for you. Each of us, we have to take the responsibility ourselves to practice Krishna consciousness strictly so that we'll go beyond this third class position. And this way we can become selfless servants of the Vaishnavas and selfless servants of the Guru and Krishna. So that's what we want to become, selfless servants. At any time we should be prepared to serve. Now don't think that means that we should only be prepared to serve the people in the temple. You see, because servant means that we have to be prepared to serve everyone in the universe. That means, you know, all of the people of your great country of Uzbekistan, we're the servants of those people. We're the servants of everyone in the world. So how will we serve them? We'll serve them in the best way possible. By giving them the opportunity to become free from the repetition of birth and death. By giving them Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't think, oh, they're horrible, bad people out there. I don't want to associate with them. People are engaged in bad activities. But still, every person is walking out there is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is present within their heart. So therefore, we're their servants. So we should become the best servants and the best citizens of the state of Uzbekistan by rendering the highest service for all of the people. By giving everyone the opportunity for developing their Krishna consciousness. That means that when we go out there, we'll try to think, what is the nicest way that I can present Krishna consciousness so that these people will get attracted? Like we think about Srila Prabhupada. And we say that Srila Prabhupada's glories is that he spread the holy name throughout the world. But Prabhupada didn't just spread the holy name around the world. Prabhupada made the holy name accessible to everyone. It's not that he just sent the holy name around. He established temples, farms, restaurants, schools. He had devotees learn how to make mridangas, cartels, diorama exhibitions, books, art department, deities, you know, so many things Prabhupada established to give people accessibility to the holy name. Because he was such a selfless servant of the holy name. You see, so when we go out there to serve the people in Uzbekistan, we should think, what is the best way that we can present Krishna consciousness to these people so that these people will be attracted and they won't just think that we're a bunch of odd or crazy people. We should think in that way. And then we should present Krishna consciousness. And that will enable us to actually come to this position of being really good selfless servants. So this is some meditation for us. You know, how we can all become better servants. And how we can serve the people of this country in a better way. Okay, so Devahuti, she was selfless. And she was completely agitated, but just to make her husband happy, she was smiling. Then Prabhupada says the example of Kardama Muni should be understood very clearly. A person whose main concern is Krishna consciousness, even if he is entrapped in household life, should always be ready to leave household enticement as soon as possible. At any moment, like Grihastha Ashram is the prevalent ashram in society. People have the desire to associate with opposite sex and have family life. So a person may be engaged in grihastha affairs. But if he's actually in Krishna consciousness, he'll always remember his goal, and at any time he'll be able to depart from his family entanglement. For those people in Krishna consciousness, sannyas, the ultimate goal of coming to sannyas isn't meant to be a painful affair.
Для таких людей окончательной целью принять саньясу не будет чем-то болезненным.
But sannyas should be like clipping your fingernails.
Саньяс должен быть что-то типа того, что как подстригание ногтей.
When you clip your fingernails, you don't feel any pain.
Когда вы подстригаете ногти, вы не чувствуете никакой боли.
You cut something off, but you don't feel any pain.
Вы срезаете что-то, но не больно.
So in the same way, all of our devotees, even if they do practice grihastha ashram and family life, if they're situated in Krishna consciousness, and if they're following the strict regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, when the time comes to leave this grihastha ashram and to enter into sannyas ashram, it'll be just like clipping the fingernails.
И поэтому все наши преданные сознания Кришны, которые строго следуют всем правилам пути путь сознания Кришны дома, когда приходит время принять саньясу, оставить дом, то для них это подобно тому, что просто подстригать ногти.
So we can see that although Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they engaged in a very exalted level of sensual pleasure.
Мы видим, что хотя Кардама Муни и Девахути наслаждались чувственным наслаждением на очень высоком уровне.
Кардама Муни was fixed in Krishna consciousness.
Кардама Муни был утвержден в сознании Кришны.
And as soon as he felt that his obligations were fulfilled, then he was prepared to leave home.
Как только он почувствовал, что его обязанности исполнены, то он приготовился покинуть дом.
For the ultimate dharma, or the ultimate occupational activity, which is the service of Krishna.
Ради окончательной дармы, даже окончательной профессии, что чем является служение Кришне.
Okay, we'll read just a few more verses.
Мы прочитаем еще несколько стихов.
She stood and scratched the ground with her foot, which was radiant with the luster of her gem-like nails. Her head bent down, she spoke in slow yet charming accents, suppressing her tears.
Девахути стояла, царапая землю ногой вокруг, которая развивалась сияние, исходившее от ее ногтей, сверкавшее словно драгоценные камни. Опустив голову и едва сдерживая слезы, она своим чарующим голосом проговорила.
Девахути was so beautiful that her toenails appeared just like pearls, and as she scratched the ground, it appeared as if the pearls had been thrown under the ground.
Девахути была такой удивительной красотой, что ногти на ее ногах были подобны жемчужинам. И когда она царапала ими землю, казалось, что эти жемчужины рассыпаются по земле.
Now also the verse it says that she was so beautiful that her toenails were just like gems, and the light from those gems were making the ground radiant.
В стихе говорится, что она царапала землю ногой, и ее ногти на ее ногтях они были подобны драгоценным камням, которые освещали всю землю.
Then Srila Prabhupada says, when a woman scratches the ground with her foot, it is a sign that her mind is very disturbed.
Затем Шрила Прабхупада говорит, когда женщина царапает ногой землю, это признак того, что ее ум очень тревожен.
These signs were sometimes exhibited by the gopis before Krishna.
Так иногда проявлялась тревога в присутствии Кришны.
When the gopis came in the dead of night and Krishna asked them to return to their homes, the gopis also scratched the ground like this because their minds were very disturbed.
Однажды, когда гопи в глухую ночь пришли на свидание с Кришной, он велел им возвращаться домой, и тогда они тоже стали царапать землю, выдавая им свое волнение.
Krishna went into the depths of the forest.
Кришна пришел в глухой темный лес.
And he stood beneath the Bhangsibhat tree.
Он стоял под деревом Бхангсибат.
And he blew his flute.
И начал играть на своей флейте.
And when that sound, when it entered the ears and the minds of the gopis, that sound immediately stole away their minds.
Когда этот звук проник в уши гопи, то он немедленно похитил их ум.
So then they started thinking, some thief has come and stolen our mind.
Они начали думать, пришел вор и украл, похитил наш ум.
Now we have to go and get our minds back.
Теперь нам нужно пойти и забрать свои умы.
So immediately they ran into the depths of the Vrindavan forest. Eager to meet that young boy Krishna. And finally they met Krishna. What did Krishna say?
He
said, welcome, O most fortunate women. How was your trip down here? Did you see any? You weren't disturbed by any tigers or wild animals when you're coming down here? Everything is okay in Vrindavan? And they were going, yes, yes. And then Krishna said, so why have you come down here? They said, well, we came down to see you. He said, хорошо. Now you've seen me, you can go back home. And then they started becoming disturbed. And then they started rubbing the ground with their feet. We read in Krishna book. And then Krishna started preaching Dharma. And he started saying, the duty of the wife is to always faithfully serve her husband. Husband can be, you know, some fat and ugly person, can be skinny and ugly, bad health, poor, still you have to serve him. So my instruction to you is to go back home and serve your husbands. But then the ladies of Vrindavan, they said, now you've given us some very good instruction down here. So you've become like our guru. And we've heard from the Shastra that the first duty is to serve the guru. So we're going to stay down here and serve you. And we're not going to go back home. So finally, by their determination and their devotion, they conquered Krishna. They said, this is the power of Krishna's pure devotees. That by their determination, by their love, they can even conquer the Supreme Lord. God is called unconquerable. But by his devotees' love, he becomes conquered. Okay. Now we're going to read what Devahuti has to say about this whole situation. Sri Devahuti said, my Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me, yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too.
Sri Devahuti сказал, мой господин, ты выполнил все свои обещания, но теперь ты должен даровать мне еще бесстрашие, ибо я безраздельно преданная тебе душа.
Devahuti requested her husband to grant her something without fear.
Девахути просила мужа дать ей то, что избавит ее от страха.
As a wife, she was a fully surrendered soul to her husband, and it is the responsibility of the husband to give his wife fearlessness. How one awards fearlessness to his subordinate is mentioned in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who cannot get free from the clutches of death is dependent, and he should not become a spiritual master, nor a husband, nor a kinsman, nor a father, nor a mother, etc.
Где сказано, что тот, кто не сумел вырваться из когтей смерти, еще не достиг настоящей свободы, поэтому не имеет права становиться духовным учителем, мужем, родственником, отцом, матерью и так далее.
It is the duty of the superior to give fearlessness to the subordinate.
Долг старших избавить своих подопечных от страха.
To take charge of someone, therefore, either as a father, mother, spiritual master, relative, or husband, one must accept the responsibility to give his ward freedom from the fearful situation of material existence.
Поэтому тот, кто хочет стать отцом, матерью, духовным учителем, родственником или мужем, и взять на себя ответственность за судьбу другого живого существа, должен знать, как избавить своих подопечных от ужаса материального существования.
Material existence is always fearful and full of anxiety.
Существование в материальном виде всегда сопряжено с тревогами и страхом.
Devahuti is saying, you have given me all sorts of material comforts by your yogic power, and since you are now prepared to go away, you must give me your last reward so that I may get free from this material conditional life.
Devahuti говорит, с помощью своих мистических сил ты даровал мне всевозможные материальные блага, но теперь, прежде чем уйти, ты обязан дать мне последнюю награду, помочь мне раз и навсегда покончить с условной жизнью в материальном мире.
So Devahuti is going to be telling Kardama Muni in these next few verses, you gave me so many material things. We had such high level sense gratification.
Yeah,
things were absolutely wonderful. But you didn't give me complete knowledge or fearlessness. You didn't give me fearlessness from this body, temporary condition of life.
Но ты не дал мне бесстрашие, то есть от этого тела, от этих временных условий существования жизни.
Therefore, I'm fearful.
Поэтому я исполнен страхов.
Now, everyone in this material world is fearful also.
И каждый в этом материальном мире испытывает страхи.
Because they don't understand what is beyond the body.
Потому что они не понимают то, что находится за границами тела.
Of course, people, they try not to think about it.
Конечно, люди стараются об этом не думать.
People, they try to enjoy while they're here in the world.
Они стараются наслаждаться в этом мире.
The actual fact is everyone is fearing death because they don't know what's going to happen after death.
Но факт то, что каждый боится смерти, потому что никто не знает, что произойдет после.
So that's the state of fearfulness.
Таково состояние страха.
Caused by ignorance.
Которое вызывает невежество.
Ignorance in Sanskrit language is called avidya.
На санскрите невежество называется avidya.
And there's different types of avidya.
И существуют разные виды avidya.
Attachment to the body.
Привязанность к телу.
Attachment to the sources of sense gratification.
Привязанность к источникам чувственного наслаждения.
Deep attachment to sense gratification.
Глубокая привязанность к чувственному.
Hatred of things which will obstruct our sense gratification.
Ненависть к тому, что не даст нам чувственного наслаждения.
Fear of death.
Страх смерти.
These are all different varieties of ignorance of the living entity.
Это разнообразные виды невежества живого существа.
So she's saying, I am subordinate to you.
И она говорит, что я твоя подопечная.
And actually, your responsibility to me as being my superior is to give me fearlessness.
И поскольку ты мой повелитель, то твой долг избавить меня от страха.
So Srila Prabhupada, he gives reference to fifth canto of Bhagavatam.
Srila Prabhupada ссылается на пятую песню Бхагаватам.
And in fifth canto it says, one should not become a superior.
И в пятой песне говорится, что не следует становиться старшим.
If you can't free your dependents from repeated birth and death.
Если вы не можете освободить своих подопечных от повторяющихся рождений и смерти.
One should not become a guru.
Не следует становиться гуру.
Mother or father.
Матерью или отцом.
Teacher.
Учителем.
Any of these different things, if you can't free your dependent from impending death.
И другие подобные вещи, если вы не можете освободить своих подопечных от неминуемой смерти.
So we have the example of the when Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they meet one another.
У нас есть пример встречи между Шукадевой Госвами и Махараджем Парикшит.
And what does Parikshit Maharaj ask Shukadeva Goswami?
Что спросил Махараджа Парикшит Шукадева Госвами?
He says, I have a question. He says, I'm going to die very soon. I'm going to die within 1 week. I accept you as my spiritual master. Can you tell me what is my dharma, or you can you tell me what is my duty when I die? And Shukadeva Goswami says, certainly I can tell you. He says, the first thing is, don't be a grihamedhi, get free from attachment of family life. And always absorb yourself in hearing of the holy name. So he says, he quotes one verse. He says, Tasmat bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hari. Shotavyak kirtitavyas chasmartavyak chechitabhayam. He says that if you want to become free from fear, you have to always absorb yourself in topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Он говорит, что если ты хочешь освободиться от страха, то ты должен погрузиться, поглотиться обсуждением и слушанием тем о Верховной Личности Бога.
So we should remember that as devotees.
И будучи преданными, мы должны помнить это.
That these topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the actual medicine that's going to elevate us beyond the bodily conception of life.
Что эти повествование о Верховной Личности Бога — это то лекарство, которое позволит нам вырваться за рамки материальной телесной концепции жизни.
He tells Parikshit Maharaj, he says, be absorbed in topics of the Supreme Lord, who is Lord Hari, who is the Paramatma in one's heart, and who is the all-pervading Brahman.
Он говорит, что будь поглощен описанием тем о Верховной Личности Бога, который Господь Хари, который параматма в сердце каждого и всепроникающий Брахман.
And he says, these topics are so powerful when they're heard in the association of devotees that they'll purify your heart of everything which is inauspicious and fearful.
Он сказал, что когда мы слышим эти писания в обществе чистых преданных, то это настолько имеет мощный эффект, что это вычищает все это все неблагоприятное.
So Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he describes devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, he uses this verse of Shukadeva Goswami as the beginning point of the practice of sadhana.
И когда Господь Чайтанья Махапрабху объясняет процесс преданного служения Санатане Госвами, он приводит пример этот стих Шукадева Госвами как начало сабхана.
So we should understand that if we want to become free from the fear of death,
мы должны понять, что если мы хотим освободиться от страха смерти,
then we should absorb ourselves in the practices of sadhana bhakti under the direction of our spiritual masters. So Devahuti is saying, it's your responsibility. You have to help me to become free from the fear of death. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Any question?
In the introduction to Vajra Rahasya, Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Jain says that, that the level of Nishta is also pertains to the level of Kanishta. It's like a sort of subdivision of Kanishta level. Could you elaborate on this point?
No. Anything else? Any questions?
Есть ли вопросы?
Как заметить, преданное служение, оно бывает, что человек впадает в вражество, привязывается, что ли, потом. Как это определить, какие признаки существуют в вражестве?
Sometimes we fall into Raja Guna in our devotional service. How can we, what are the symptoms of this? How can we determine whether we are not inspired?
That we'll not do things intelligently. That we'll find ourselves being pushed by, we'll find ourselves being pushed and we'll be jumping into things without thinking about them and sorting them out properly. And generally the result of the activity is not really anything positive. It's just that we've become very active and there's no good result. Now, if one is actually situated, if one is trying to do things in the mode of goodness, then one will actually think about what he's doing. And one will contemplate what the results of the activity will be. So as devotees, we should learn how to think properly in Krishna consciousness. We should actually be able to analyze our activities and analyze what the results will be.
На самом деле мы должны быть способны анализировать свою деятельность и какие мы предвидим результаты.
We should act on the basis of our intelligence. Now, oftentimes, the modes will affect us. Let's see. It's like sometimes we'll feel so sleepy. Sometimes we'll become very, passionate in our behavior. But we should try to balance that by deliberate practice of sadhana. Meaning if we see that we're starting to come under the influence of passion, then we should try to chant very nicely and clearly. Because from passionate mode of material nature, lust comes out.
Потому что из гуны страсти материальной природы проявляется вожделение.
You see, and then your lustful propensities, they can't be fulfilled.
А вожделение никогда нельзя удовлетворить.
And so that will make you very angry, and it will all it'll start going down into the mode of ignorance. You see, so if you find that you're becoming passionate, you should chant very nicely. And then if your nature is just, if you're by nature passionate, then you should always engage that nature in service to Krishna. You know, it's not that if you're passionate, you want to just try to sit and chant japa from morning till night, because then you'll explode.
Это не то, что если вы такой страсти человек, то вы должны сидеть целый день с утра до вечера читать джапу, просто взорветесь.
You see, rather do more service.
Вместо этого просто делайте больше служения.
You see, keep yourself busily engaged in Krishna's service.
И будьте постоянно очень заняты служением Кришны.
It doesn't mean that you should, you know, do a lot of service and be frivolous or make a big noise or whatever, but you should just get yourself seriously engaged. Because you understand that by keeping your senses engaged, your senses will become purified of passion. That's why we should do very nice sadhana in the morning and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then do a full day of so much service. And then in the evening time we should come together and hear Bhagavad Gita and have kirtan, and that's a complete day. And then we'll be able to keep the effects of passion minimized. Passion is our enemy, so we have to be very careful about passion. And if our nature is already to be passionate, then we should always make sure that we're, you know, nicely engaged in service.
Sometimes, just by the will of circumstances, you're put in the position of seniority, you're put in some position. And you may feel that you're actually not qualified to bring your dependence back to Godhead. But what do you in these circumstances? Иногда просто в силу тех или иных обстоятельств ты становишься старшим, и ты не квалифицирован для того, чтобы привести, избавить своих подопечных от страха смерти.
Okay, I have a question. Who here is feeling qualified? Okay, so no one's feeling qualified. But if we analyze, if we want to say that as devotees we have any qualification, then what is that qualification?
Но если мы проанализируем, если мы будем говорить, что у нас есть какая-то квалификация, как у преданных, в чем она?
Our only qualification is that we have qualified spiritual masters.
Наша единственная квалификация в том, что у нас есть квалифицированные духовные
учителя. My only qualification at all is that Prabhupada is my spiritual master.
Моя единственная квалификация состоит в том, что Прабхупада мой духовный учитель.
You see, before Prabhupada started trying to fill me up with Krishna consciousness, the only bad things were there.
Перед тем, как Прабхупада начал наполнять меня сознанием Кришны, там внутри была только одна гадость.
Therefore, our acharyas say, if you'll examine me, you'll see that I'm only made out of your mercy.
Поэтому ачарьи говорят, что если вы изучите и обследуете меня, вы увидите, что я состою только из вашей милости.
You see, so we don't feel that we're qualified.
Поэтому мы не считаем себя квалифицированными.
We feel ourselves that we're fallen souls.
Мы считаем себя падшими душами.
So therefore, our only resolve is that we will try to repeat the message that we've received from our spiritual master. And this is called parampara system. Even though, you know, we don't consider ourselves to be qualified at all, if we will make it a point to repeat the words of our spiritual master and to repeat the words of the previous acharyas without changing and without adding to those words, then then the potency of the parampara can flow through us.
И даже если мы ощущаем себя неквалифицированным, если мы серьезно отнесемся к тому, чтобы повторять то, что говорит духовный учитель Ачарья, ничего не добавляя и не изменяя, то эта потенция всей парампары, она потечет через нас.
Just like you may establish the electrical line here.
Как здесь можно провести проводку?
And there may be many different points that you want power to run.
И то есть вы хотите, чтобы были источники напряжения во многих частях.
And if they're all properly connected, then the current will flow through them very nicely.
И если все очень хорошо соедините эти звенья, то ток очень хорошо потечет.
So if we're properly connected to our spiritual masters as servants, and if we're simply repeating the messages of our spiritual master, then the current can flow through us.
Если мы должным образом связаны с духовным учителем, как его слуги, и если мы должным образом повторяем то, что говорит он, то этот поток он потечет через нас.
But sometimes we may be given some responsibility.
Но иногда нам могут давать какие-то обязанности.
So if we're given responsibility, then we shouldn't let our head start to become very big.
И если нам дают какие-то обязанности, то мы не должны, то есть раздувать себе голову.
We should simply remember that we're the menial servants of our spiritual master. And that I'll try to do everything for the pleasure of my spiritual master. But does that mean that one will, you know, he'll see that there's some problem and he'll think that the problem and to like rectify the problem he may have to speak strongly to someone. Does that mean that he just goes to sleep?
Но если означает ли, что если он в такой ситуации видит, что есть какая-то проблема, и для того, чтобы ее решить, ему, может быть, с кем-то придется серьезно поговорить, означает, что он без этого будет даже спать?
No, it means that he'll correct the situation, but in Krishna consciousness.
Нет, означает, что он постарается исправить ситуацию, но в сознании Кришны.
He won't become passionate.
Не будет впадать в страсти.
And it won't be that he's doing it up because his ego has become agitated. It's not that one will correct a devotee because of some, you know, personal motivation or some personal disturbance. But if one has some responsibility, he may correct a devotee, but in the mood of helping that devotee become Krishna conscious. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada could just scream at the devotees. Can you imagine being screamed at by Prabhupada? Prabhupada, he would like, he could call the devotees, you know, he could chastise the devotees so severely. You know, and generally, with a devotee, if he wasn't so much a determined devotee, then probably just always go, yes, what you're doing is very nice. Just carry on doing what you're doing. But if a devotee was actually trying to take responsibility, you know, on behalf of the spiritual master to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness, and he was a hard worker and he had some real substance and character, then Prabhupada could use fire on that devotee.
Но если преданный действительно хотел взять на себя эту ответственность и обязанность для того, чтобы распространять сознание Кришны, в нем было что, в нем были какие-то качества, какие-то моральные качества, и в нем было что-то вообще, то тогда Прабхупада буквально мог, то есть его огнем поливать.
And Prabhupada's philosophy was, if you want to make iron stronger, you burn it in fire for some time.
И Прабхупада говорил, что философия Прабхупады была, что если вы хотите закалить сталь, вы должны держать ее в огне.
So sometimes to make his trusted generals stronger, Srila Prabhupada would give good strong chastising. You know, and then they would become stronger and determined in their service. You see. But it was never self-motivated. You know, Prabhupada never chastised people or corrected people because his ego was disturbed. Because Prabhupada had no material ego. Prabhupada's only ego is I am Krishna's servant. You see, so based on that, Prabhupada was prepared to do anything. You see. We shouldn't understand spiritual life the way Arjun was understanding in the beginning of the third chapter. Arjun's mentality was renunciation. Go to the forest. Just, you know, everything should just really be peaceful and just sit and meditate. You see, but we should understand that Krishna consciousness is a life of action. You know, working in Krishna's service. You know, sometimes we'll do things wrong, sometimes we'll be corrected, but it's for our betterment, and this is called real ego. Not false ego. So we shouldn't do things on the basis of false ego.
You're just telling us how we should use our passionate nature in Krishna's service, and what to do with ignorant nature if that nature is too ignorant.
Well, if a person comes down and he starts doing some service, but he's too ignorant, if he just wants to take rest all the time, either he should, you know, try to become encouraged, or maybe he should just go home and take rest.
То есть, если человек приходит заниматься служением, он хочет там все время отдыхать или что-то такое, то его и нужно или же можно попробовать вдохновить как-то, или нужно пускать идет домой и отдыхает.
Now, we don't say don't be a devotee.
Мы не говорим не будь преданным.
You know, because we want everyone to be a devotee.
Потому что мы хотим, чтобы все стали преданными.
But generally, it's like the temple is like a place where there's a lot of, you know, action going on all the time. And sometimes if a person, if he only wants to sleep and he doesn't have any real interest in advancing in Krishna consciousness, the temple might not be the right place for him to be. So then it might be better for the person to stay in a different environment and practices Krishna consciousness. And it's not a crime. It's not a shame at all. It's just being practical. You see, but everyone should be encouraged. No question about that. Everyone should be encouraged from whatever position they're in to try to do the most that they can.
В каком положении, чтобы люди не ходили, они старались делать как можно больше?
Шрила Прабхупада said that management of our temples, it means to take a man who has 10th class qualities and develop him until he has first class qualities.
Шрила Прабхупада говорит, что управлять храмами означает принимать людей, которые находятся на 10th уровне, и поднимать их до 1st уровня.
So when we come down here and we join the Krishna consciousness movement, say we live in the ashram, we can understand that we may not have ideal qualities. But our senior devotees and our senior leaders, they should try to see that there's a spark of Krishna consciousness inside of our hearts, and they should try to fan that spark till it becomes a fire.